I'm Duncan MacLeod, and this is Tech Central's TCS Plus, the Business Technology Show, which is brought to you today by NTT Data and SAP. And it's to NTT Data and SAP executives I am chatting next. And the discussion today is going to revolve around a very important issue for many South African organizations, and that's the cloud modernization of their ERP systems. And to do that, I'm joined by NTT Data's Brent Flint. Brent is Head of Enterprise Applications and Cloud at NTT Data Middle East and Africa. And Nazia Pillay, who is Head of Partner Ecosystems Middle East Africa South at SAP. Welcome to both of you. Thanks for making the time.
Great to be here.
Good to be here.
Right, so we're going to be talking today about risk mitigation strategies for migrating to SAP S/4HANA Cloud and what this entails for South African organizations. A recent analyst brief on this topic from IDC, the International Data Corporation, says cloud modernization of ERP applications is fast gaining traction in South Africa and across the Middle East and Africa region. And according to the IDC syndicated cloud research conducted in January of 2023, 96% of CIOs in South Africa indicated plans to modernize their ERP applications using cloud services. And that's an incredibly high number. However, adoption in South Africa particularly has been somewhat slow, according to the IDC report, and this is due to the perceived costs involved and a dire shortage of the right IT skills, among other factors. Brent, let me start with you. Let's talk a little bit about, as a starting point, about the relationship between NTT Data and SAP. How far does it go back?
Duncan, I may be out by a couple of years, but I just came off a call with the German team in SAP, the NTT Data team, and theirs is 32 years.
Wow.
So I think in South Africa, we're probably around 20-odd years.
Okay. Okay. And Nazia, tell us a bit about that relationship and how it works.
So, of course, NTT Data has walked the journey with us as one of our cloud ERP partners. Mm-hmm. They don't only specialize in the cloud ERP, but predominantly that's what they're known for, taking our biggest customers and sometimes even our smaller customers through a safe journey into our cloud portfolio.
Okay. So, Nazia, let me ask you to paint a picture as we get started in this conversation. Why is there a pressing need for companies to modernize their ERP systems and to move to cloud-based solutions? What's driving this pressure?
So at the center of everything that SAP does, and I'm sure NTT Data, is the customer need, right? And the fact that the markets in which they are operating in require new things from them, business transformation is key, mm-hmm. right? And business transformation doesn't end at just the people. It then translates into the processes and the tools which they use. So effectively, from a cloud ERP perspective, we are providing them with data and information at the same time in which they can act on that information. So that is critical to in terms of what the workforce would, how it changes the workforce's everyday activities, making customers able to focus on what really matters, which is increasing revenue, looking at how do I improve the customer satisfaction, and how do I engage better with my employee base.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. So it's about real-time business, Brent, if I'm understanding Rosia yep. correctly. And legacy ERP, I'm guessing, is not so good at that.
Quite right. I think just to add to what Nazia commented on, I think that, you know, when you look at the move, migration from on-prem to cloud, it's often driven by some of the new business requirements. So clients want to get into new markets, they want to improve CX or the employee experience even, or optimize processes. And operate more efficiently. Those are like pull factors where that take businesses to discussing the business case for cloud. But I think we'd be remiss not talking about some of the push factors. Mm-hmm. And the push factors are, you know, the legacy ERP that you spoke to, mm-hmm. but also the issues around hosting on-prem. Mm-hmm. You know, we have an environment which, touch wood, has been very sort of stable from an electricity supply recently. Mm-hmm. But all of those things have an impact on your homegrown sort of IT basement. And if you're managing your own IT infrastructure, that becomes tedious after a while. It ties up your skills in operational sort of things. your businesses, you know, you get to things that are end of life of hardware, you get to all sorts of challenges. So so those push factors should also be considered, Nazia, in terms of, you know, there's pool stuff that is business enabling, but I think people also want to move away from mundane, non-differentiating tasks in managing the ERP environment.
Yeah, and that's basically the main benefit of cloud, that customers can focus on what makes them competitive, and what brings value to their end customer, while they leave the stuff to SAP and to our partnerships to allow for scalability and security and so on. So they focus on what matters to the business. We focus on keeping the lights on.
Obviously, I mean, we've spoken about skills, and I suspect skills is going to be a topic that we cover a lot through this conversation this morning. But to what extent do you think the skills shortage in South Africa is actually driving this migration to cloud?
I think if you look at it, it's not really the shortage of skills is particularly related to the old way, or to the fact that we need a new kind. So we need a new kind of consultant, and it's not only just the solution consultants. We also need what wasn't required in an on-prem world, which is architecture, cloud architects, and they need to understand this very, very complex environment of not only applications but also the underlying infrastructures and communicating across different networks and so on. On top of that, you then need the project management skills that understand what am I looking for in a project that is fundamentally different now that I'm in a cloud world. And so it's these layers of different kinds of skill sets or transitions of skill sets that become an issue in the market.
All right, let's talk a little bit about SAP S/4HANA Cloud. As a starting point, what is it exactly?
S/4HANA is our cloud ERP offering that we have to our customer base. Underlying it is the fact that we have ease of use through our Fury screens, as well as the embedded analytics, making that real-time data available to our customers.
Okay, and is it a public cloud offering, or is it a combination of public and private
cloud? So we have both in S/4HANA Cloud, either private edition or public. We see that a lot of our install-based customers who have complex currently ECC systems, they tend to go to private cloud so that they can keep some of their customization and so on. But for net new markets, we focus predominantly with our public cloud offering.
And ECC is a non-cloud, on-premises, legacy
ECC
solution.
was our former ERP solution. And that basically comes to end of mainstream maintenance in 2025 or 2027, depending on your enhancement pack. And so S/4HANA is the next generation of our ERP system.
Right. Okay. So there's a deadline approaching for corporates around the world and in South Africa that need to move off these platforms. What does this end of support actually mean for them?
This end of mainstream maintenance means the customers can still opt to have customer-specific maintenance, but that comes at an additional cost.
Okay.
But it's not really the cost that customers should be focused on. It's the fact of what they lose by not moving into S/4HANA, which is around the innovation. It's around the fact that you now have a different data architecture underlying your S/4 system, which allows you to do all the new things, right, like machine learning, robotics, and now the buzzword, which is artificial intelligence.
Okay, and that's baked into this new software, is it?
Yes.
Okay, and I imagine that moving off the legacy software as well also has cost implications. Are there cost implications associated with maintaining these legacy systems? And I imagine moving to a cloud environment, which is supported by your partners like NTT Data, has cost implications and potentially lower cost associated with it as well.
Right. So the total cost of operation, when you look at the licenses and the infrastructure, the business case will stack up over time, because with our RISE offering, which is what we've brought, it's a comprehensive offering. It's not a product in itself. It's basically our S/4HANA with managed services and other services in the cloud. And effectively, what we can do is we we can show to our customer base that moving to that subscription model, considering what they're currently paying for the maintenance to us and what they may be paying for the infrastructure in which they're running it, as well as the additional support that they need for the systems, that business case stacks up. Mm-hmm. Right. Having said that, there is a cost related to the migration. And unfortunately, the migration is not a migration just of itself, a technical migration. It's a business transformation, right? And so that means that a lot of the things that people had left untouched, like redundant custom code, data issues, which they just didn't think about, remains in the system and now becomes the point in time where they want to address everything at one go. So depending how big you want to make the project, creates this anxiety in the customer base that there's a big project ahead of them and there's cost related to it. But you can do this in phases, and that's why we have our SIs and our partners to support our customers in understanding how to break that down and how to do it in a safe way.
Mm-hmm. And I guess NTT Data plays a big role in helping customers go through those processes. Maybe explain to us a little bit how you get involved in helping your clients in this migration process and NTT's role in that.
Thanks, Duncan. Yeah, I was smiling as Nazia mentioned a few of those things, because most of the engagements, you know, building out the business case is one part of the migration plan. Mm-hmm. The execution and then the ongoing measurement against that business case is where we see a lot of gaps in the market. But I think every client that we engage with, we've developed a few packages that help us map out that business plan and mitigate any risk in the journey and introduce automation to make it more efficient. So taking a proven methodology, applying some automation to some skill sets that are dedicated to migrations, we significantly de-risk the migration.
Mm-hmm.
I think one thing, though, that we should state is that moving to cloud doesn't solve your problems. It may enable your business to be more efficient going forward, but if you take in bad data, inefficient process, uneducated people into cloud, you know, you're just replicating your challenges. So that whole business transformation and modernization, which includes changing business process and reskilling users, is crucial to the success of a cloud migration plan. And I think the challenges we see typically, data is the first one. Skill set, second one. Security, third. And fourth would just be general compliance. Mm-hmm. So, you know, segregation of duties, those kind of things. Often these things are administrative in nature, and bad habits have crept into the old on-prem environment. And then the time to clean up the environment is when you move to cloud. Now, that cost, you know, the cleanup cost should not be put into the business case for migration, because you'd have to do that anyway. So these are some of the things we see. But I think, just to go back to a point you made earlier, I think the skill set issue is a crucial one for South Africa. You know, we are now part of a global skills, we call it war on talent. Mm-hmm. And a lot of highly skilled people in South Africa are working remotely for offshore organizations.
Yes.
So, you know, while we're trying to reskill for the new world, there's a dwindling pool that's been sort of exploited. As I say exploited, we're a low-cost geography.
Mm-hmm.
We speak English. We're on a European timeline. So we're really well positioned to export those type of skills.
Do you think these are big projects.
Yeah.
Compounded by the skills issue, and the IDC report states that South Africa has fallen behind other markets, even in the region, in modernizing and moving to cloud. How do we overcome these issues? What's the answer?
Well,
especially around skills.
Yeah, I think there are two things. One is most CIOs are experiencing delays in accelerating their cloud journey, largely because of skills. Now, to partner and select the right execution player is really crucial there. And to use, you know, we were joking about it, but you know, to use automation, to use proven methodology, to use AI, to do proper discoveries and planning is one way of being more efficient around your skill set. One of our intentions is to help our clients on that journey, but also to take the operational, the day-to-day management of mundane, non-differentiating tasks off the client, so the client can then use his skills who understand the business that they're in more appropriately. So I think that's one option, Duncan. The other is the investments we've made. Nazi was talking about sort of graduate acceleration programs at the intro. Now, we've done a lot of work around our Saturday school, creating skills, then taking those graduates through into university once they've graduated our Saturday school, and then we employ many of them in our business going forward. So I think we're certainly working hard at creating a skills base. If I can, just for a moment, we've also identified that South Africa is one of our global SAP centers of excellence. So, you know, we the, for the points I mentioned earlier, English speaking, mm-hmm. we're awake during the European day. We actually have quite a high competence in skill set in South Africa. We're a very attractive labor rate as well. So we've created two centers of excellence for SAP, one in Johannesburg and one in the Eastern Cape. And we are globally investing in both of those to address.
And that's to provide services not just to South African organizations,
absolutely.
But globally.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Brent is spot on. The migration, while it might seem a big project, we have many more tools in a cloud, in an ERP journey now than mm-hmm. we had 10 years ago, mm-hmm. right? So around automation, around methodology, making sure that we make repeatable project plans, ways to execute and so on. This is something that not only do we expect from our partners, but SAP itself has pushed out methodology and accelerators and tools to support our partners and our customers in this process to identify custom code, to be able to accelerate understanding where the change is going to be, methodologies and how to run the project, templates and all kinds of accelerators that are made available so that we can build that into how we do it, because repeat activity creates consistent outcomes. And that's what we need to be able to move the client base into S/4HANA mm-hmm. RISE.
Okay, so it's these tools help with risk mitigation in these large complex projects. There's terms Makira, Glasswing, Control Panel, GRC. What are those, and are these part of these risk mitigation strategies?
Yeah, so let me provide a little bit of clarity there and try not sound like a sales pitch, but what we've done is we've taken, to the point Nazi was making, we've taken best practice process, we've taken a platform, and we've taken a skill set, and we've bundled that into what we call an outcomes-based service. Mm-hmm. And Makira is an ability to manage document flow through your organization. So, you know, if you think about a simple example, would be a salesperson gets an order from a client, and attached to it is a purchase order. They have to then load into an ERP system the purchase order with their sales code, with the right product code, those kind of things. So document management in an organization becomes complex, mm-hmm. and it creates disaster, because if no slight on any salesperson, but attention to detail is not high up on their list, you know, you invariably get inaccurate data. Mm-hmm. So Makira helps us manage that process. It automates it. It puts workflows in. It puts checks and balances in. And it also self-populates some of that data. So it using AI, it gets smarter and smarter over time. It learns things like a VAT number and populates it into the document, and then archives it afterward into a repository for reference going forward. So these are things that just take away some of the noise and make your migration more efficient. Mm-hmm. I want to stress though that these are tools that should be used regardless of whether you are in or out of cloud. Mm-hmm. It's not dependent on a migration.
Sure. Okay. And Glasswing and Control Panel GRC, just briefly, what are those?
So Duncan, one of the trends I mentioned earlier was that, you know, we see compliance and GRC challenges in every client. I've just spent some time with a large financial services organization. They've had the annual audit and there are findings. And segregation of duty is one of those. So what we mean by that is you don't allow an accounts receivable person to have access to account payable data, because the likelihood or the potential for fraud is then heightened. And in large financial environments, they segregate those duties, they audit them once a year, and guaranteed every time there's a finding. Now, we under GRC Portal, we have a program that says Get Clean, which goes and audits and finds all of these roles that haven't been revoked or been assigned incorrectly. And then it also puts in a managed service over the top of that with workflow authorization, reporting, and that sort of thing. So to prevent you getting into that sort of sick state, so to speak, going forward. So it future-proofs you from a violation of your segregation of duties.
Okay.
But in a nutshell, they're all people process platform, highly automated, with some cognitive sort of intelligence built in to populate and make life more efficient.
You don't have to reinvent the wheel
exactly.
when you do these projects. Yeah. What is the impact of deploying SAP S/4HANA Cloud on organizational competitiveness? What does it mean for companies that, you know, running the legacy ERP systems compared to what they're, you know, assuming they deploy the software successfully, what does it actually mean for their competitiveness and their ability to grow market share, et cetera?
So I mentioned that with the benefit of cloud is that our customers can now focus on creating business value, right? The competitive edge that you get is the fact that you leave the technology part, which is the infrastructure, the managed service, the biannual upgrades of your ERP system, you leave that to your provider, your service provider, which is now SAP. And you focus on the value-adding part. So you're basically, you can use your workforce and focus them on where is the value that is required for them to stay competitive. And it really is about focusing your effort where it matters.
Are you having conversations with clients in South Africa about AI? I mean, it's the buzzword of 2024. It's been the buzzword for a couple of years now. And one of the things that the sort of modernization allows is you to deploy these latest technologies in the enterprise. Are you seeing pressure from CIOs in South Africa who are saying, we absolutely have to do this, we have to modernize our systems because we need to get onto this AI bandwagon?
So actually, I see it from the other side. I see it from the partner side. And yes, we are skilling up our partners to be able to answer that question because most of them are facing those questions at their end customers. And effectively, it is important for them to be able to discuss and define these use cases because AI is consumed use case by use case. Mm-hmm. So many people see it as where can we start? And the advisory that comes from our partners helps them to determine where's the most logical place to start, right? And from my perspective, the other more interesting part of it is what I'm looking at, what our partners are doing with AI to be able to make migrations easier, to create new products or new offerings to our customer base. I see a lot of work around that from our partner base to gearing up in terms of not just the exploring use cases with the customers, but also providing them solutions, as we've just discussed, that are ready for them to consume.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe I should direct the question then to Brent. What pressure are you seeing from your clients to
huge?
Huge.
Let's call it a hype cycle at the moment where every client is looking to unlock business value. We've developed a few assessments to very sort of, let me call them simple engagements to identify areas for deployment. And we've also found that there are a few use cases where we can apply that use case in not only industry, but different client environments as well. So again, the our view on it is how do we standardize as much as possible? How do we proceduralize and industrialize the solutions and then deploy it across clients and across industry verticals? But Duncan, in short, a huge amount of interest and another area where I think there's a skills dearth. We just don't have the people to service the demand in the market and we need to be quite selective about which use cases are going to deliver maximum value to our clients and generate quick returns for our market.
Sounds like this skill shortage is a real, real problem. Let's talk about practical experience now. Nazia, maybe just in terms of best practices that organizations should know about when they're embarking on one of these projects, cloud modernization ERP projects, what should they know if they want to achieve a successful migration to S/4HANA Cloud? What should companies know in this regard?
So SAP has done a lot of work in this area, and we have what we call the Cloud Migration and Modernization Program, which we make available both to our partners and our customers, where we build in tools, we provide methodology, tools, and accelerators to assist them in that journey. And I think it's very important for our customers and partners to look at the best practice, but not to ignore the fact that many of our SIs come with their best practices as well, where they have run projects and found based on industry or based on a certain specific focus within a client base that they have added additional best practice onto what SAP has already provided.
Brent, is it very different between industries? Do you have to have a completely different tool set each time you go into a different sector?
It depends on what modules you are deploying. Mm-hmm. A simple example is if you look at the basis kind of or the finance and operations kind of modules, there's not a huge amount of differentiation there. But there are certain industry kind of modules, and SAP have actually assembled themselves, and we have mirrored that at NT Data, with an industry vertical approach. So we look at cloud for automotive or cloud for manufacturing as an example, and then you would have certain modules like your warehouse management or some of your IoT devices that you need to consider a different approach to.
Okay. I think the
point I just wanted to go back on and just make again around that journey and what things you need to make sure you're ticking off on that project plan. And Nazia is quite correct. If you look at what SAP has provided as best practice templates and frameworks, we've adopted many of those, but we've also taken a global view out of, and Entity Data spent $3.6 billion on a two-year rolling window on R&D, and we've built a data conversion factory in India. So we've been able to accelerate our migration times from sort of a 12-week period down to 6 weeks, so almost 50% reduction by driving automation in a data conversion factory, doing all the code correction centrally and leveraging on those learnings. So I think it's really important that we sort of acknowledge SAP as a best practice threshold or benchmark, but in each geography, we enhance some of those services with local knowledge and content.
Okay. Okay.
And it's not only the technical part of methodology and tool sets. There are other things that make a project successful.
Mm-hmm.
And these things are, so most of our customers are facing not only the change to business process that's introduced by going to S/4HANA, but they also have to, it's a change of the business model when they go into cloud.
Mm-hmm.
So they have these two major change events that are facing them at the same time. So change management becomes critically important. And it's not only the traditional change management, such as, you know, stakeholder management, user awareness, user training. It's also around software change management itself. In a cloud world, I mentioned that, you know, you have every 6 months a new release coming on board. Whether you are already in the project or already live, you need a team that's on top of all the changes, understanding what impacts they have, but not only that, what are the new functionalities that have been introduced so that I can take advantage? So change management is critical in these projects.
Would you say that's the number one thing determining success?
I would say that it is actually one of the top three.
So Brent, would you say that the change management is the single biggest determinant of whether a project like this is successful or not? And what are some of the other factors that determine success?
Well, I'd agree with Nazi. I think it's absolutely crucial. But what I wanted to just add to that was that executive support is absolutely key.
Okay.
And I'll give an example again, practically. I've just been to a large steel manufacturer on a cloud migration engagement. And the first thing the CEO wants off the project plan is change management. Yeah, I will tell my people that the change is happening.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a little bit, it's a bit like parenting. You know, it's much easier if people see the light rather than feel the heat.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't talk about change management now as a Kit Kat on your keyboard. and welcome to the new system. It's actually about the change to the business process. And that's crucial to have exec support on it. In another client where there's strong executive buy-in, CEO pulled the project, said, everything's on hold until the production executive acknowledges that we are going to change the process. So I think executive buy-in to a cloud transformation program is crucial. Change management is a huge, huge part of that. But if the execs don't buy in and understand what it means to their businesses, they're doing their organization a disservice.
Is it a specific executive that should be responsible for this? Should it be the CEO or should it be some other role in the organization?
I think it's got to start with the board approval because you know the business processes touch on finance, they touch on production, distribution, sales, warehousing. So you really actually need a broad exec buy-in. And often, you know, the poor CIO is the program sponsor. I would suggest that you swing that. You either have a CEO as the sponsor or a steering committee who drive the program.
And it shouldn't, I guess, be seen as purely as an IT project.
It's not an IT project. And that actually brings me to the other two points around what is important. First of all, customers must be deliberate in their selection of partner. They must find a partner that meets their ethos and culture and that has the competencies and the investment in their business to be able to take them across the line, right? I think that is one of the key things that I've seen which makes a successful project. And that goes to the fact that you not only have executive buy-in from the customer side, but you also have executive buy-in from the partner, where we have executives speaking to each other, ensuring that at the top level they are aligned, that they are committed to the journey, and that they're there to handle any deviations from the original plan quickly and timelessly for their teams. The other part is roles and responsibilities need to be clarified. Right up front, it's important in order to do a proper scope of work and estimation, you need to understand what is SAP doing, what is the customer doing, and what is the partner doing. And having a clear defined roles and responsibilities helps you to work in a team environment. It's not only now about the partner and the customer anymore. SAP is fundamentally providing the service of the cloud ERP system. So we need to also be playing our role and working and collaborating with our partners and customers.
Brent, I don't know if you can mention specific clients, but maybe you can just talk about the industries they're in. But can you maybe provide one or two examples of successful migrations here in South Africa and what the companies have been able to achieve as a result of moving onto these more modernized systems?
Yeah. Duncan, I'm not going to mention names just to keep it
fair enough.
Above board. But I think I'll talk to industries. The first thing I'd say is, with proper planning, you plan for success. And the time spent on doing due diligence is well worth it. Those roles and responsibilities, clarity of the solution, all of those things are important. So I'd encourage organizations to spend time planning and getting a detailed execution plan. But to think of a few success stories, we've taken a number of clients in different areas, financial services, manufacturing, automotive. A recent one was in a production environment where downtime is critical. You cannot be offline in a production environment, and not that you can be offline in banking for that matter.
Sure. But,
you can't be offline at all. But really just making sure that we are mitigating risk, and the big thing there is to get that right is in production was data. Making sure that all the pre-migration tasks are being executed properly, and that there are no surprises when you get to the go meeting and you've made the decision to migrate, because coming back is very, very difficult.
Yeah.
So we've had huge success in production environments, banking environments. We took one of the largest retail banks off an on-prem environment into a cloud, into a hyperscale environment with SAP. So I would suggest that there is a low risk associated with migration to cloud if the proper planning has been driven.
That's key.
The absolute sort of minimum is to really spend time on the business case, because and to spend time on the due diligence and discovery. And no client really wants to spend a lot of time or money investigating what they think they already know. The issues that come out of the woodwork if you don't do a proper due diligence are huge, and they have significant delays and put significant risk on the program. So the big thing is to get your planning right.
So I imagine that you must have to have some uncomfortable conversations with your clients sometimes, companies that want to pull the trigger on a project when they're not ready, they haven't re-engineered their processes in the way they need to, they haven't cleaned up their data, et cetera, et cetera. How do you manage conversations like that?
I think authenticity and credibility are really key and important. The executive interlock I feel that in most cases I can have a very transparent conversation with my client. Mm-hmm. I think one of the things that is really important, though, is that we're all aligned in the engagements, because if we, again, to use a parenting analogy, if there's a difference of opinion between an OEM and a partner, mm-hmm. and that manifests in the client engagement, very, very unhealthy place to mm-hmm. be. So we need to make sure that we are, as a tri-party, all fully aligned. I think the one thing that does concern me around risk is I foresee a mad rush to cloud at some point.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me give you some idea. We think that probably 30% of the Dimension data, NTT data client base, have migrated to S4 HANA. The deadline is looming. The planning takes time.
So people might end up rushing this, and that could cause problems.
And I think what we've seen, and I think certainly is SAP assisting us with accelerators to get there, both in terms of methodologies, but also in terms of funding. You also seen hyperscalers putting accelerating funding programs together to migrate to cloud. So I think there's an awareness in the industry that we've got to get on with it. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have a limited skills base to execute on the client requirement. Yeah.
It sounds like you're going to have a busy few years ahead, Brent.
Exciting years.
Exciting years, yeah. Speaking of exciting, I wanted to direct a last question to you. So what can we expect from SAP S4 HANA Cloud? What's coming down the line in the next couple of years that companies can get excited about?
So it is our artificial intelligence. We have, with SAP, we have always had a format of machine learning or simulation and prediction. That's part of most people that have worked with SAP ERP know that we have built that into our software. But with artificial intelligence, we're taking it to the next level. That means it's the user interface that the users are dealing with will now become the AI, mm-hmm. right? And it's not going to be for everything, right? It's going to be for those heavy transactional scenarios where you can automate it to create that efficiency and to create that benefit to the end customer. So that is a space that's very exciting at the moment.
So do you see that primarily driving organizational productivity?
Yes, productivity and innovation as well. Right.
Okay. Well, thank you, guys. It's been a fascinating conversation. Thanks for sharing these insights with Tech Central's audience today. Brent Flint is Head of Enterprise Applications and Cloud at NTT Data, Middle East and Africa. And Nazia Pillay is Head of Partner Ecosystems, Middle East, Africa, South at SAP. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks for hosting us, Duncan.
Thanks.
Thank you.